Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
The Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, Tom Brawley with you here as we're going through all 32 teams before the draft gets underway at the end of April. We're talking about what happened with these teams in 2014, what to look forward to in 2015, how has their offseason gone, who have they added, who have they lost, what are the fantasy implications of those maneuvers in player movement over the last month or so. We are getting into all of it here at the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. Make sure, of course, to check out all of our content. It might be the off season, but for fantasy football, as we know, there is no off season. That's why we're bringing you these podcasts. That's why you could check out the pre-draft rookie report that Tom and Joe put a lot of work into. We got our bonus scoring articles going up as well. Podcasts from John Hansen and Greg Cosell. Post-free agency, more podcasts to come. After the draft, we'll have the rookie report updated because we'll know where these players are ending up. But before we get into all that, talking about seasons, well, the MLB season starts next week. FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever. Don't miss your chance to join before the season kicks off. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. They are the leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. You don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. Play today and win tonight. That's a nice motto to have when you're playing fantasy baseball. Pick a brand new team any day you want. No season-long commitment and no upfront fees. Make every game exciting with FanDuel. Now, Joe, I know and you have played FanDuel. We've talked about this. You played during the football season. You played on a Sunday. You said, you know what, you can play late in the season. What if you're out in the playoffs? Your season's over. You know, you're looking at your lineup in a week maybe and you go, man, some of my guys are banged up. But when you play FanDuel, you don't have to worry about injuries now, during a week.
I think there are a lot of weeks playing football where I paid much more attention to my FanDuel team, to the attention I paid to my season-long teams. And I think baseball can be very much the same thing, because fantasy baseball, as you know, it's a big picture thing.
Right.
It is the definition of the old adage, it's a marathon, not a sprint. I think fantasy football is a bunch of sprints grouped together into a longer event. And that, I think FanDuel, though, kind of rectifies that. It gives you kind of that instantaneous rush. Hey, is your guy coming up with two men on and two out? What's he going to do?
Right.
Is he going to come through? In the big picture for a full season long of fantasy baseball, that might not matter all that much. But if you're looking to win money tonight, it matters a hell of a lot.
Eric Hafner won some money. He turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel is paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Listen closely. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. The special offer for new users, every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer's only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. All right, we get into here this podcast. We will talk about the Indianapolis Colts. And you're going to hear us answer some questions. We asked you on Twitter to send your questions in. We appreciate that. And if you're listening to these podcasts, you know we're getting to all of your questions. If you want to submit a question for a future podcast, of course, stay tuned to our Twitter accounts at Fantasy Guru site, at Fantasy Guru site, at the Matt Kemp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brawley. We're letting you know when we're taping these and when we're bringing up maybe your specific team or a team you have certain questions on. So we're going to answer some of your questions. Use the hashtag franchise focus if you want to have your questions answered on this podcast. Guys, we will get into the Colts on this podcast today. They go all the way to the AFC Championship and lose to the Patriots, but certainly an interesting offseason for them. It all starts, though, with Andrew Luck. And, you know, we talk about in dynasty leagues and keeper leagues, some of the best assets to have. You could argue that Andrew Luck might be the top asset to have because of talent and because of longevity. And as we've talked about many times, if you're starting an NFL team right now, he would be the number one pick of, I would think, every team and every GM out there. Maybe you throw Rodgers into the mix, but when you bring in age, Luck certainly takes the cake there. And he's a guy that maybe has hidden some of the issues that the Colts have had over the last few years.
Maybe
he has.
He has.
I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah, you don't need to be nice, because this is a team that has Andrew Luck to thank for all the success it's had. Let's be completely frank about it. And this is what a franchise quarterback gets a team. And we're going to get into some of the free agency moves that they made, which were a direct result, by the way, of having Andrew Luck and that selling point on their roster. Andrew Luck is one of the best five quarterbacks in the National Football League, and I understand that he turns the ball over more than you'd like to see. That is the cost of a guy who has to lift up a team around him. It's the cost of a guy who plays for a head coach who wants to build with the run game and build with the defense when they aren't strong in either department.
But the good thing was is we had concerns about that coming into the 2014 season, because it happened far too often in 2013 where the ball was being taken out of Luck's hands. That did change in 2014, and that's why Luck was the number one quarterback when it was all said and done. But I still agree that they did rely, or at least they had that mindset, that that ground game and defense was better than it really was. However, at least we saw Luck really throw the ball a bunch just about every single week, and it made him fantasy relevant. He just didn't have a ton of help around him, at least on the ground. Ahmad Bradshaw did a fine
receivers.
Job. Yeah, the receivers.
Look at it,
Hilton was great, and that was a bounce forward.
Wayne was washed up.
Nix
was washed up. I mean, outside of T.Y. Hilton, was there anybody really special that he was throwing to?
Moncrief on occasion.
Flashed, but
Bradshaw,
not enough.
That was about it.
I mean, I think Kobe Fleener did a nice job. Yeah. He was better than expected.
He showed a little bit more.
Both him and Allen ended up finishing as starting caliber fantasy tight ends. I think that's more of a knock against the tight end position than anything else. But Fleener was pretty solid this year. He is more of the downfield threat, but Luck did cover up many of the moles that this team had. Yet when it came down to, once again in the playoffs, he couldn't carry the team all the way, and it's tough to do that.
He makes mistakes.
He's still clear in the AFC
championship. Oh, sure, right. That's what I mean. He got them that far. That's on him.
He makes mistakes. We're not absolving Andrew Luck here. You know, he's not infallible.
But is it because he feels like he has to do a lot more?
It is. And I think people look at the Colts and instantaneously think, because of the points scored and the yardage, oh, this team's loaded. Were they?
They're loaded at quarterback.
I don't think so. You said, look, T.Y. Hilton's a great receiver. All 32 teams in the NFL would take it.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. I think Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen, for their warts, are a very solid pair of
average tight ends.
I am still a Kobe Fleener skeptic. I've seen that guy F up one too many times. I still need a nice season of him to wash that bad taste out of my mouth. He did make some progress in that department. But as you mentioned, Reggie Wayne, Akeem Nix, these guys were doing nothing last year. The offensive line is bad. The defensive line, the front seven, is not very good. So Andrew Luck did have to carry this team. And the run game was just a disaster last year. And I'll give Pep Hamilton some credit for this. We talked a lot of crap on him his first season in Indianapolis, and I wonder how much of that was the fact that he was trying to adjust to what Chuck Pagano wanted to do and the fact that he was trying to adjust to the NFL. But last year, he knew if they were going to win games, Andrew Luck had to throw 600 passes. 616 passes he threw. And I think we're probably going to see a number close to that this year. Now, I don't think they want him to throw that much. And that's why they went out and did some of the things they did.
Now, here's the thing with the moves that they made. Nix is not going to be back. Reggie Wayne is likely done in the NFL. We'll see if he decides to go elsewhere. I get the moves that they made. They add Andre Johnson. That's an improvement to their receiving core. They add Frank Gore. That should be an upgrade at running back. But are they thinking the wrong way with the additions that they made?
No real eye to the future here.
That's the thing. Now,
I mean, and we
Jim Irsay has pretty much said
10, 12 more years.
Right. He's got time, and there'll be other guys that come up. Is it Moncrief? Is it Daron Carter, who's coming from the CFL? You would think now that your starting lineup looks something like Andre Johnson, T.Y. Hilton. If you're going to go too tight, it's Fleener and Allen. You have Frank Gore in your backfield. It's a nice group there. But are they adding at the wrong spots is the question. Now these are short-term kind of deals here for Andre Johnson, for Frank Gore. They are upgrades over what they have. Jim Irsay's pretty much come out and said, we're going for it. And, hey, if they were that close to the AFC Championship without these guys – you know, they're not that far away because they have number 12. But we know their bigger issues here, thinking long term, are on the O-line and the defense.
And here's one thing, and I will play devil's advocate here. And I have been an outspoken critic of Ryan Grigson at times. I think this is a guy who fell into Andrew Luck and more often than not has swung and missed at pitches. However, I think he understands that building that offensive line and that defense – not as easy to do through free agency as what right. he did. He went out, guys, and got two key players, a replacement for Reggie Wayne, who had over 100 targets last year, and Andre Johnson. And while Andre Johnson's play is slipping, and the Houston Texans told you that, because they were like, you're not going to start next year. So the Houston Texans, who had him, believed he wasn't at that level, but he's better than Reggie Wayne at this stage. They went out and got Frank Gore. These are really not moves that are going to financially strap them by any means whatsoever. They are at deeper positions on the market. They were for older veterans. So I wonder if this is a move that Grigson has made to make the Colts better in the immediate, while understanding that for this team to be as strong as it can be in the future, they need to hit on some draft picks and build up the offensive line and the defense.
My thing is, but are you really making this team that much better in the present?
And there's
present?
The question.
Like, why not throw Dante Moncrief into the fire at the beginning of the season when the games maybe don't matter as much? Maybe he progresses by the end of the season. He becomes a star because he's on the field more. We saw Andre Johnson slipping last year. Why replace a Reggie Wayne, a Hakeem Nicks, guys that are already done, with maybe another guy that is already done? Why not give Moncrief that chance to play 90% of the downs and get better as the year goes
and
on?
And maybe try to make a big splash, some of the defensive talent that was out there, which they didn't really do. Will it happen in the draft? There are certainly enough options out there for them, but are these guys going to be ready to contribute at a high level for a team that was one step away from the Super Bowl? I get looking down the road, but if you're truly going for it, go for it with the right frame of mind. And I'm with you there, Tom. I think the thought process could have been a little bit better, and it's a bit short-sighted in my opinion.
My concern. And I've already admitted that I think Andre Johnson is better than Reggie Wayne. I don't think that's a question. I think he's probably better at this stage in his career than Hakeem Nicks was last year, a guy who's been ravaged by injuries. My issue is this. Andre Johnson is in his mid-30s. It's an age of collapse for NFL players at any position. And I know wide receivers have much longer careers on average than running backs, but it's an age of collapse. Who's to say Andre Johnson confirms the fears that the Texans had and isn't playing at a high level? The Indianapolis Colts, under Pagano and under Grigson, have a history of letting too much rope on these guys. Trent Richardson, too much rope. Reggie Wayne, too much rope. They don't bench these guys. They were stubborn with trying to run an offense that didn't work 2 years ago. They finally fixed it last year. So that would be my concern. If Moncrief is the better player,
why are they retarding the growth of a Moncrief for a short-term answer, a short-term fix with Andre Johnson, who just might fall off the cliff like Wayne did last year?
Heading into the draft, two of their more notable additions were both from the Eagles. They got Todd Harrimans. They signed him there. And then they also signed Trent Cole. Got a two-year deal, $16 million, $8 million guaranteed. Pretty
Cole
strong money there.
Is a much better signing than Harrimans.
Absolutely.
Cole got the bigger money. They know he's a better signing. He's a guy who can still play, can really help them. I think he's a very good fit for the defense. I got to be honest with you. Now, while I've started to like the Gore signing more and more, and that's something we'll clearly get to. I almost thought that the Trent Cole signing might have been Grigson's best move of the offseason. It was a player they really needed, just a smart player who seamlessly transition to a 3-4 in his 30s for the first time in his career. That is not easy to do. We talked about it with Julius Peppers on the Packers podcast. That is not an easy thing to do, and he did it pretty seamlessly.
Let's talk about here. What do you think focus-wise, fantasy-wise, of the additions? And as we said, we do get to your questions here on this podcast, and if you want to send them in, use the hashtag fantasyfocus. David asks us, he says, I really like Gore and Indy. Will Gore finish as a top 15 running back, top 10, or is that a little hopeful? Now, I think top 10 is a little bit too much, but what I like about Gore in Indy is that Joe, you've brought it up many times as a joke, kind of, is whatever Frank Gore is drinking, bottle it up and give it to running backs for the rest of their careers.
I don't want these guys' careers to end.
Right.
It makes my job a lot easier if a good running back is good until he's 32, 33, like Frank Gore.
The last few years in San Francisco, although they've tried to transition to more of a balanced and more of even a passing attack, it hasn't worked with Colin Kaepernick, and that's put a lot of the offense on Frank Gore's shoulders. And to his credit, he had two monster games to finish up the 2014 season, a season he played in every single game when they still had Carlos Hyde. I think he knew he was kind of out the door. Maybe that was part of it. But he had two monster games to finish up the season. So he still has something left in the tank, but you don't have to ask him to be the man like he was in San Francisco. And when you have Andrew Luck, when you have Andre Johnson and Hilton and those tight ends, you have a pretty darn good offense to begin with. You're not asking Gore to be a guy that's going to carry the ball. I don't think he's going to have to carry the ball 270 times this year. Maybe not even 250 times, and I think that's a good thing. Does he become more efficient? And because of that, does his fantasy value go on the rise? Maybe just for the fact that he's getting more chances to score touchdowns. He scored just five touchdowns last year.
I think he's going to be a much better receiver than we think. He was a decent receiver at the beginning of his career.
And better than decent.
Yeah, and just the last couple of years, they'd stopped throwing to the running backs. And we saw Andrew Luck. I forget at one point in the season, like 75% of his touchdown passes were to running backs and tight ends.
Bradshaw is a big part of that, obviously.
Yeah,
but
he throws to his running backs.
Gore last year ran for just over 1,100 yards, 4.3 yards per carry is still very impressive. Five total touchdowns, four coming on the ground.
What did he do as a receiver?
As a receiver, 111 yards on 11 catches,
so
19 targets, 10.2 fantasy points per game. He was the number 30 running back in a PPR. He's going up there. I will definitely say that.
I would focus in on
over the last few years, 11 catches, 16 catches, 28 catches, 17 catches. That's the Harbaugh era right there. Before that, though, this is a guy that was catching 40 passes a year. I'm not asking for a ton here because the guy is
25-30 range, though. You'd be quite happy.
Look, he's 32. He's entering his 11th season. He'll be 32 when the season begins. He's entering his 11th season in the league. I'm not asking the guy to catch 45 passes again, but as we've talked about with some of these top backs, I think he could be a threat once again to catch the football. And is that something they look at in the draft? Because they just brought back Dan Heron as an exclusive rights free agent. That's probably more of a backup than anything else.
By the way, you remember you said 11 catches for 111 yards. You remember one of those catches was that weird broken play against the Eagles.
That was
where
he had a
50-some yard touchdown reception.
So
he really did nothing else.
Half his production was on one play.
Just a completely weird broken play because Kaepernick and Frank Gore said to John Hansen once on our SiriusXM radio program, my quarterback doesn't check it down. He's got a big arm. But as you mentioned, look back at the numbers to 2011 when Alex Smith was starting here, a guy who we deride for all he checks down. Frank Gore, 17 receptions. I think it was the Harbaugh offense that was just limiting Gore's chances.
Maybe they were being smart about that too at his age. I get that.
And here's what I'm wondering. You think Dan Heron, there's a guy who did a great job last year. Probably not a running back who has the talent to be a full-time three-down running back, but he contributed in that role when they needed him to. You figure they bring Dan Heron back to limit Gore on third downs and this and that. But my argument would be Gore's greatest value is on third downs. The guy is regarded as one of the best pass-protecting running backs in the National Football League. And for all that Andrew Luck gets hit, how nice a value is that? Gore chipping a blitzing linebacker and then releasing into the flat for a little dump-off when the receivers are covered downfield. I could see Frank Gore catching 25 to 30.
Where does he get it? Where do you have him? Is he 25-ish?
25 to 35.
No, he was 30 last year. So that's my question. In terms of where does he finish?
Oh, right.
Right, right.
I thought you were talking about catches.
Sure, yeah.
I think he can be top 20. Top 15 might be pushing it, but
Bradshaw, by the way, PPR, the number eight fantasy running back.
He was great.
15.9 fantasy points per game in a PPR. That's a lot of production to replace. And I do want to point this out. Amon Ra Sa scored 6 receiving touchdowns in 10 games. That is absurd for a running back. Matter of fact, he led all running backs in receiving touchdowns despite playing only 10 games. That's a little fluky.
It is a little fluky, but they were designed to plays to the running back out of the backfield when they were down inside the 5. So
I mean, we're thinking his ceiling is probably top 20. I don't think it's going to be much better than that. I don't think it needs to be better than that for the Colts.
No, we're
going to
draft him.
Right. I don't think I'm going to run up and go get Frank Gore either. And he'll fall to that number 2 running back range.
Fourth, fifth round, you'd be probably pretty happy to get him.
If you want to take it, if you're focusing on your number 2 running back, I don't think you need to. But is he a guy that, if he falls to the right spot, you go, I'll say Frank Gore is my number 2. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. We know where he is at his age. I mean, you have to bring that into account.
You can't take him too early.
Right.
I mean, if Frank Gore
is not reach for Frank
going
Gore
in the early fourth round of your fantasy draft, I think that's one where I'm like, you know what? Take him. But if he gets into that fifth, sixth round,
if he's in that 50 to 60
range,
it's a good
offense. Yeah. You're playing with Andrew Luck. The line is not as good as it is in San Francisco.
Right. That's what I was worried
about. The San Francisco line took a step back last year. Iupati didn't have a great year. He's gone now anyway.
But this passing game is much better. It will open up things.
Gore is a crease runner. He just somehow fits between the cracks. He's so good at that. Doesn't have the deep speed anymore, or if he ever really had it. But he's just going to eat up chunks, and he's going to keep the offense on schedule. I'm going to guess he's going to touch the ball around 250 times this year.
Let's quickly hit, before we get into some draft needs or thoughts and some team needs here, when you look at the receiving core now, when you add Andre Johnson to the mix to go along with T.Y. Hilton, Hilton last year was the number 9 wide receiver in a PPR at 18.6 fantasy points a game, 82 catches, 1,345 yards, 7 touchdowns, 126 targets. Remember, he missed 2 games last year. And you had Andre Johnson in Houston, 85 for 936, 3 touchdowns, 145 targets, 13.1 fantasy points per game. The number 28 wide receiver, and actually put him 10 spots behind his then teammate, DeAndre Hopkins. I don't see Johnson's numbers being all that different. I think he can get to 1,000 yards again. I think the touchdowns, though, could go up, and I think that's helpful. But he now gets to play with the best quarterback he's ever played with, and it's not even close in a better offense.
Andre Johnson's going to Canton with one of the worst lists of quarterbacks you could ever imagine. Look, if I'm Andre Johnson, and let's point this out about Frank Gore as well. Frank Gore spurned Philadelphia. In a move that I think now both teams would argue worked out for both teams. But you got the opportunity to play with Andrew Luck. I mean, that's the selling point here. And
is he a low-end 2 now? Is he still probably right around that area?
I think he's more of a high-end 3. If you're talking best ball format, I think he's appealing because I could see him having a good number of those like 9-catch, 90-yard type of games.
Based on Hilton's numbers last year, I don't see him really hurting those numbers all that much. And Hilton only scored 7 touchdowns. I mean, that's not a big number.
I feel like his targets might go down.
Sure, okay, a little bit, but he certainly got it going. Now, what does it mean for Dante Moncrief? Because I think people were hoping, I was certainly one of them.
Buy him in Dynasty right now if somebody is selling because they're worried about Andre Johnson.
You got to think long term. And it doesn't mean that Moncrief's going to go away completely in 2015 either.
No, I mean, he was the number 3 here last year, and he had bouts of fantasy relevance.
He flashed.
I
feel like he could be a guy that you draft and hope for the best, and you get to week 6 and go, where the hell is he? And then maybe you cut him loose. But he
flashed. I would exhibit patience with him. As a matter of fact, I got to tell you, less fantasy relevant than I remember him being.
Right, yeah.
And it was because he had 2 huge games.
The flashy games, I know. That's what drove us nuts, because you had Wayne and you had Knicks not doing a lot, and you saw some flashes of Mocky for going, okay, now it's the time to go to this guy. And they didn't really do it. They did not get him involved enough. And now you add Andre Johnson to the mix, and it's gonna limit him.
They're going to get cold feet. I think he was kind of a hot name here, January, February, Moncrief, and then people got cold feet.
Which I get. I get that.
So now is the time. Hey, if he's out there for cheap, go get him.
Oh, that's sure. In your redraft leagues, though, I get why you're not pumped to go grab him. But he is, once again, you're going to give a guy more attention when he's on the same team as Andrew Luck, like we talked about Devontae Adams in Green Bay. Now, I think Adams has more of an immediate chance than Moncrief will, especially because the two tight end sets that the Colts will run and having two capable tight ends there where the Packers don't have those guys. But he is still a name that don't push him aside completely just yet. Let's talk a little about draft here, what they need to do. I think it gets back to our conversation about defense and the offensive line.
And the running back.
And the running back. I that's a neat thing I want to bring up because I still think you need somebody else there. You've got to go to the future
You've
here.
You've got Frank Gore, Dan Heron, and Zerlin Tipton.
That's your
backfield. I would not be shocked at all if they spent a pretty high pick on a running back. And they're like, you know what? We went out and we invested in Frank Gore. Yep. We expect Frank Gore to be very good for us this year and maybe next year.
Maybe next year.
But
we got to get that project.
They need to get a guy, and it's
probably a third or fourth round. It's some guy that you don't expect to immediately step in and play, but someone that you think can play by year two or year three.
And I would anticipate that's exactly what's going to happen. Now, I think the Colts are a team that needs my old term. They need a boring draft. They need offensive line and defense. But you know what? Since his first draft, which admittedly was a home run. Oh, and by the way, I forgot about Vic Ballard.
Oh, well,
he's
right.
Still around. Not really a guy
I'd be counting on.
A couple serious injuries for a guy who doesn't have that much natural ability. Gregson, since that home run first draft, has kind of struggled.
Well, it was very offensive-orientated. I mean, that was the point. That's what he tried to do. And he, as you said, he has struggled. So I think both lines are keys. O-line especially. You have to protect Luck. He still takes more. I mean, the sacks were down, and I put that on him more than anything else. But you have to protect that guy. He is your franchise. And, you know, there's a big contract probably coming up for him. It doesn't sound like it's coming this year, but it's coming soon.
It's coming.
And it's going to be the biggest contract in NFL history, as it should be. So, that, as Joe said, probably a boring draft here, other than maybe the running back that they take a look at. Looking for the future, I think it is very important for the Colts. So there's our look at the Colts. See if they can build on an AFC championship appearance off of last year. And as we look ahead, we have to tell you about the MLB season starts next week. And FanDuel's changing the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever. You got to sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel. They are the leaders with real money and immediate cash payouts. Those entry fees start at just $1. And you don't have to wait all year to get your money back. You can win it all in one night. Maybe that entry fee in your season-long league, you could turn that into a cash plus some more in just one night. You can make every game exciting with FanDuel. And, Tom, what I like about it is when, you know, you talk about football with it, the bye weeks. I don't have Andrew Luck this week. I can't play him. Well, guess what? When you play FanDuel and you play baseball, maybe your guy's off on that Monday night after or Tuesday. It's the midweek changeover. There's a travel day. Well, you don't have them in your lineup, so go get somebody else to put in your lineup in FanDuel, and that's very easy to do.
And the weather is starting to turn here. Easter weekend, get a little extra cash from your grandparents, your aunts, uncles. You want to put it on the line here and start next week? You got baseball starting up? Make that, you know, double that $100 that you get from your grandma
and
grandfather.
Does Granny get a cut, though?
Yeah,
Or does she have to suggest someone to put in your lineup?
You have to work that deal out with her whenever she gives you the $100
check. That's a good idea, yeah. And make sure the check clears, though, too. It certainly cleared for Eric Hafner. He turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. They're paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Here's what you need to know. You go to FanDuel.com and you click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use the code GURU and sign up now. Here is the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer's only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU, G-U-R-U. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FANDUEL.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So we're hitting all 32 teams before the draft. Check out all the podcasts that we have up. If you're trying to figure out the order, pretty easy. Start at the draft order from the bottom, work your way up, meaning the Buccaneers will be the last team that we hit. And we'll have that up before they're on the clock on that
Thursday.
We're
also going from the good teams to the bad teams.
Yeah, pretty much.
Joe will get more and more sick of it as we go along these podcasts. So that's something fun to look forward to.
And if you want to respond to these podcasts, if you have questions coming up on our podcasts, you can do so and ask them to us on Twitter. Use the hashtag franchisefocus. That's the hashtag franchisefocus. And tweet them to us at FantasyGuruSite for me. At the Matt Camp. Tom, your Twitter for the people?
At FG underscore Brawley, B-R-O-L-L-E-Y.
And Tom, Joe, yours?
At FG underscore Dolan.
Tweet your questions in, or maybe you have responses to these podcasts. Use the hashtag franchise focus and include the team as well. We got plenty more to come here on these franchise focus podcasts. Check out the post free agency podcast of John Hansen and Greg Cosell, the pre draft rookie report the guys have up. We got bonus scoring analysis, stat analysis. It's the off season for the NFL, but it's never the off season for us. So for Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. We thank you for being with us on another edition of the Franchise Focus podcast right here at FantasyGuru.com.